Welcome to Sports Hour. Listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. The final day of November. The unofficial CBA deadline, I guess. I guess that's what people are calling it for Major League Baseball. And another Tuesday snowy, cold afternoon in Oswego. Aaron Valentino and Brandon Ladd here with you for the third to final episode ever of WNYO Sports Hour.
Just keeps counting down.
We have three more episodes left this week as Michael Gross and Megan Trubio wave to us from outside WNYO studios. Yeah, this is it. So today's a pretty normal show. Is it ever a normal show, though, with the two of us around? No, never. Today's a pretty normal show. And then tomorrow, a big announcement show, very special edition of Sports Hour, which I'm super excited about it. Tomorrow, Brandon and I will be announcing our new endeavor next semester, our final semester here at Oswego State. Let me ask you a question. They were asking me in the office, you know, am I going to tell anybody? And I said no. I said there's only five people that know. Does Abby know?
No, I don't think so.
So then there is only five people that know. I'm not going to tell you who the five people are because that might give away some things. But
our parents know.
No, my parents do not know.
My mom knows.
So you're. So
Let's
you're,
hope
so
she
sick.
Doesn't leak it to page six.
Tell the Post. So six people know. I didn't even tell my family. And my sister, you know what's weird? My sister, who never listens, is like, why aren't you going to tell me? I'm like, because I want it to be a surprise.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's stupid. I'm your family. I'm like, you don't even listen anyway. So, like, why does it matter?
Yeah, when was the last time she listened?
Seven people now, according to Jake. And I think we can put two and two together to figure out who.
Yep.
Well, one of the people who knows is Jake, if that isn't obvious.
Yes.
But another
does
person
Lily
knows
know?
As well. Lily does not know.
Interesting.
So only seven people. Unless Brian told his parents. Or, crap. Well, now. Those are four of the people that know. You and I, Jake, and Brian know.
Yes.
But you still don't know. Nobody knows what we're going to be doing.
Yeah, that's true.
What we're going to be doing with those groups.
I wanted
people.
You to open the show with your dramatic pause and Javier Baez is a Detroit Tiger.
Yes, yes. Well, do you want to start with that or do you want to start with your bold outfit choice?
Let's go back a couple hours here. So let's start with me completely redecorating the basement today.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was the other thing I wanted to bring up. Yeah, so... Hold on. I thought you were just putting pictures up, which we desperately needed.
Yes.
We
did
some need
character
some pictures.
Now.
Yeah, it has some character. But then Brian sends me a picture of you. Where is the TV stand?
No,
one
I
of
just
the TVs
switched
is
them
on the floor?
Because one's nicer than the other, and the nicer one wasn't straight on from us.
So, okay, so you switch them.
Yes.
I actually wanted to do that for a while,
yes.
And I suggested we do that, but you're like, no, but then the TVs won't be even.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that one TV is from 1981. It does not need to be even.
Yeah, so, all right, so that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm actually excited to see that when I get home at 9:30
yes.
tonight. But what made you want to do that?
I don't know. I was like, I could either do academic work or I could clean, so I picked cleaning.
So you cleaned?
Yeah,
so the kitchen is clean.
No, I didn't do that.
Right, right.
I'm
the thing
only
that
in
actually
charge.
Needed.
Yes.
The only thing that actually needed to be cleaned.
At
you
9:20
didn't clean.
This morning, I'm like, "Will I do the dishes today?"
No. Nope.
And then I was like, "Nope, I'll redecorate the basement instead."
Yep. So I'm gonna have those nice dishes waiting for me when I get home. And the Aaron Valentino classic is very much incoming.
Brewing.
It's very much incoming tonight.
Yes.
I, for those of you who don't know what that is a laundry and essay writing night from Aaron Valentino. I quickly realized that today when
people
I was
people know not to cut
hour.
The line.
Yes.
For the laundry machine.
Yes. No, I will need that. I desperately am going to need that laundry machine. I should have done it yesterday, but I didn't.
Here we are today.
Because here we are today. Right. So you redecorated the entire basement.
Yes.
Looks good?
Yeah, it looks good. All right. Everything's level.
All right. Well, I'm excited for that. You said you made a bold outfit choice today.
Yes.
And you kind of did. The thing that doesn't make sense, though, is you're going to have to get out of that when you pull this basketball game today.
I was just looking at my clothes, and I'm like, okay, what's the most comfortable and easiest thing to put on? And I go, okay, jeans, and then the Cowboys.
And then the
Christmas
Cowboys. Yeah,
sweater.
So he has a Cowboys ugly Christmas sweater.
Which used to light up. I had to change the batteries.
It used to light up.
Yes.
It's got little lights where it says touchdown on it. It's so disgusting. And it's so awesome all at the same time. I'll post a picture on Twitter during the break. But yes, he's got a Cowboys Christmas sweater
on. And then, of course, I have Sperry's on.
Yes, Sperry's. Sperry's are always involved. You wore Sperry's in, you know. Yes. A foot of snow.
Yes. It's all that's needed. Sperry's and then women's cabin socks.
Why do you have women's cabin socks?
They're Abby's.
Why are you wearing
stole
Abby's?
Cabin socks? Because cabin socks are the best socks ever.
Are they?
Yes.
The Nike.
They're comfortable and nice.
The Nike
black dry
socks.
Fit black socks are.
The best socks.
Yeah, but this time
Under Armour socks aren't bad either. But
I don't know. Have you felt the joy of a cabin sock?
No, because I feel like I haven't. It's too like it's like wool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's too much.
But it has like aloe vera on the inside.
Oh, ew. What?
Yeah, to make it soft. No, it's
aloe
not just
what?
Yeah.
Like the liquid?
Not the liquid, it's just the material they use.
How do you put aloe vera inside a sock?
Well, it doesn't just pop out. Let me look up
what is
the
science behind it?
Let's look it up. Aloe vera
inside a sock? Like the thing you put on when you have sunburn?
Yes.
That's on the inside of a sock.
Okay, here we go.
Do you understand my issue with this?
So if aloe socks, science of aloe socks.
Aloe socks? But I don't understand what is the material. Because aloe is liquid.
I guess I don't fully understand either. What are aloe socks? Aloe socks are coverings for the feet that are made from a fabric that has been infused with aloe vera, or socks that have an internal coating of aloe vera.
So it's spandex and nylon.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. That doesn't sound as comfortable as cotton.
Aloe-infused socks are usually worn for only a short time and are not recommended for use inside a pair of socks where they can produce sweat.
Great. Great. I'm really glad you're wearing those and you're sharing them with Abby. That's very sanitary, apparently. It's extremely sanitary.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we've got a big day here at WNYS Sports. First off, we got Sports Hour right now up until the 4 o'clock hour, really probably one of the final normal episodes of Sports Hour ever. And then at 4 o'clock, we've got the Hot Corner coming up with Michael Gross and Jake Johnson. I'm sure they have a lot to talk about there. And then at 5:30, we have Oswego State women's basketball. They are going – I never pull it up, folks. I never seem to do it. But here we are. It's day 100 whatever. They are playing Cortland. I thought they were playing Cortland.
Oh,
and I didn't
double
know.
Cortland night.
Yeah, so a double Cortland night. The Oswego State women's team, it'll be their first SUNYAC matchup of the year. They currently come into this one 3-3 on the year. So you can take a listen to that over on Stream 2. And then at 7:30, it'll be Brandon Ladd and Joey Palatsky on the call over on Stream 2 as well. As the Oswego State men's team, they'll have their first SUNYAC game of the year against Cortland as well.
It's an exciting time
yes,
to be alive.
So it is definitely an exciting time to be alive. For sure, it's going to be super duper fun. Both basketball teams playing two games this week. They're both going to be taking on Buffalo State on Friday, 5:30 for the women's, and then the men's at 7:30 as well. So we have a WNYO Sports triple header on Friday.
Yep.
Which is exciting. So a doubleheader today, a triple header on Friday with Oswego State men's hockey. They're taking on Canton. I will be in Canton, maybe on top of an ice shed.
Yeah, that's been the chatter.
I don't know if that's official, but it's definitely a possibility.
So Jake and Liam will definitely not be on
the
ice.
They are not going to be on the ice shed. They elected not to be on the ice shed.
It was a viable option.
But Jake and I agreed that we somehow have to utilize the ice shed, so it might be me. It'll actually be Liam Gottemer. as play-by-play, and Jake Johnson as your color man, and then myself as man behind the glass, and then Saturday we'll go back to normal. It'll be Jake, Liam, and myself on the call once again. All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, yes, we do have to talk about Javier Baez because he signed elsewhere. And honestly, we got to talk about if MLB should continue this fake signing deadline thing, because it has been absolutely electric. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk about the New York Mets when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the award-winning WNYO Sports Hour right here on the Laker Radio Network.
But for you, I guess you moved on really easily. You found a new girl and it only took a couple weeks. Remember when you said that you wanted to give me the world? For you, I guess that you've been working on yourself.
And welcome back to Sports Hour on a Tuesday right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Good for you, Olivia Rodrigo. Brandon and I's favorite song. Got to play all the classics.
My favorite's Traitor.
This week.
Oh my God.
You got it. You can't do that to me. You can't do that, because we can't explain that story.
No, we can't.
I think it's funny that Abby now also sends it to you.
Oh, everybody does.
Every time.
It's vicious. It's a vicious cycle. What's happening? I'm fully expecting my family to unwittingly start sending it to me.
Oh, my God. You get a text video from your grandmother.
And it's just got in the car.
And it's just... it's just... by Olivia Rodrigo. Oh my god. That is funny. That is. What a day. What a year. What a year.
No, it's been an interesting
Tomorrow's
year.
Tomorrow's December.
It's crazy.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Tomorrow is December. I know I've said it 100 times. This year started with me working at Amazon.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Think about where we were in January. There was 5,000 COVID cases a day.
There was. There still is kind of that. But yes.
Well, I'm vaccinated, so
yes, exactly.
I'm immune. I am immune to it all.
I'm gonna boost it up soon. But
so yeah. Oh wait, are you getting the boost? So you would know. Actually, maybe you wouldn't know, but you would probably know more than me. Do I have to get the booster shot?
Yeah, once you get to about 8 months, they're suggesting it for all adults.
So in February, I got to get a booster shot.
Yes, because I guess there's a new variant.
Yeah, because not everybody's doing this. Okay.
Yes.
We don't have to.
Yeah.
We don't have to get into it.
Yeah.
But still, that's fascinating that I'm going to have to get I'm probably going to have to get the booster shot. That's interesting.
Get ready for it for life.
Yeah.
One a year.
Yeah, so but then are we going to be wearing masks?
No, eventually. You know eventually it goes away. It's seasonal.
You know what's going to be really funny?
Yeah.
Is on Saturday. When Deborah Stanley does the ceremonial puck drop,
yeah,
the amount of booze she's going to get.
Why? You think the mask?
People are mad.
Yeah.
The masks? People, when they announced it was the first official game and like they brought her family out for, when was it? For the Utica game.
Yeah.
They booed. They booed.
Yeah.
So this game, she's going to drop the puck and it's going to be her send-off and they are going to boo her. And because of the name in the arena, isn't technically her fault,
yeah.
But at the same time, she could have done something about it.
She could have delayed it for a few.
She could have delayed it.
Yes.
She could have said, let's name Hewitt after me. She could have done a couple of things.
Yeah.
But she didn't. Yeah. Which, again, not technically her fault.
No.
But at the same time, come on.
Yeah. Come on.
All right, let's talk about Javier Baez. I woke up from a text from you. At what time was it? 8 in the morning? 8:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
And you said, wow, we texted a lot today and it's only 3:16. You texted me at 9:20 and you said, you're not going to be okay when you wake up. And then 1 minute later you said, and you've already seen it. Last night at 2 a.m., John Morosi reported that Javier Baez is going to be heading to the Tigers. It came out this morning that it's going to be 6 years, $140 million. Baez wanted 6 years, 200. He's not getting that. Instead, he's going to the Tigers for 6 years, 140. According to multiple reports, the Mets' highest offer was 5 years, 125.
Okay.
and the Tigers were willing to up that, and the Mets were not. People are kind of shocked. Mike Petriello, who's one of the smarter people in the industry, was stunned, quote, stunned that he got 6 years. Which, you know, yeah. I guess strikeouts are that big a thing. But at the same time, Javier Baez is a dynamic baseball player.
I would
player.
Say the destination's the more stunning part to me.
Yes. Why are you going to Detroit?
I don't know. Detroit's up and coming. Detroit had some good moments.
Up and coming?
Hey, they went 77-85 this year.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the city of Detroit.
No, the city of Detroit's gone. Just forget about it.
It's decimated.
Yes, but they play a little out of Detroit. We found out that magical trick with professional stadiums and arenas. We put it a little outside of Detroit, and things are nice.
Yeah. So he's going to Detroit, which right now automatically means that Jeff McNeil is the starting second baseman on opening day. I assume now, for the sake of the argument, and there's a couple different things they could do that here. The Mets could bring up Vientos, Khalil Lee could be starting, Mark Canna could be the DH. But for the sake of this argument, right now, I think it's fair to say that Jeff McNeil is the second baseman and Robinson Cano is the DH. Is that fair?
That's fair. And it's been established that we're going to have universal DHs.
I mean, it's
That's
not.
That's what's going to come out of this,
though. It's not, but
yeah,
it is.
Yes.
So I think it's fair to say that Jeff McNeil is the starting second baseman and Robinson Cano is the DH. Now,
fine.
Mets fans on Twitter are going to tell you that's not the case at all, but on paper, that's what it is, and that's probably what it should be. So with that being said, the Mets technically don't need anybody. Jeff McNeil had a bad year, but you look at his career numbers, Jeff McNeil, you know, could have just had a down year and he could come back fully swinging. But at the same time, you know, Jeff McNeil could be a very good depth piece. He could play third base. He could really, really try and work hard and play third base, and you could have Escobar be your bench player. So I think the New York Mets should pivot to a man named Christopher Bryant.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
Doesn't it make sense?
It's a fair point.
It's time. It's time to get Chris Bryant to Queens. It is absolutely time.
But
7 years, $175 million. Give him this Marcus Semien contract.
But does that create a logjam in the outfield? Because now people are saying, okay, he can't play infield anymore.
Well, okay,
blah, blah,
even
blah.
If you want to play Escobar, right? If you want to play Escobar at third base, Mark Canna doesn't need to start. Chris Bryant can play right field.
He doesn't.
That's why Chris Bryant is so valuable, because he can play third base, left field, right field, all at a high level.
Yes.
Right? You can move him around. Jeff McNeil can do the same thing, but not with, you know, the power at the plate, one, but two, not with as great a defensive prowess.
And I think you might be able to get him for a bit of a bargain chip, because the productions went down a bit.
Chris Bryant's really good at baseball.
He is very good at baseball.
He's really good.
But he has not, so past 4 years, 1.9 WAR in 2018, 3.6 in 2019, 0.3 in 2020. Obviously, that doesn't count. 3.3 last year.
An OPS plus of 124, an OPS of 835. Sluggy, you'd like to see that over 500, but it was 481. Chris Bryant is, you know, again, career numbers, 278. He's only got 167 career homers. That kind of surprised me. How old is he? He's 29 years old.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's fallen off.
Because he's so old because the Cubs did that sketchy thing where they kept him in the minor leagues too long so they would have another year to have him.
Yes.
Remember when they were doing that?
Yes.
But again, Chris Bryant. I mean, imagine an infield of Chris Bryant, Francisco Lindor, Jeff McNeil, and Pete Alonso.
It's a good infield.
A great infield.
I think he's going to be in the outfield, though, if you do get him, because I think Escobar's the better hitter at this point, but that just says how good of a hitter Escobar is.
I don't know if at this point you could say Eduardo Escobar is a better hitter than...
I think the standard metrics prove it.
Well, he's coming off a career year, Escobar.
Yeah, but in 2019, he was almost an MVP.
He was?
Yes, you don't remember that?
I mean, OPS plus of 109, OPS of 786, slugging of 472. On-base percentage was low at 314 last year.
Look at 2019, though.
OPS plus of 111, that's pretty good. Slugged 500, wow. But on-base and batting average were we're fine.
He's more of a power hitter.
He hit 35 homers.
Yes.
In 2019.
And the RBIs are off the charts.
And drove in 118, which is like the best of his career by far.
118 might be a top 10 clip of the past 5 years.
Yes, he'll be 33 years old heading into this upcoming season. I don't know. I don't know if you could say. I guess you would have to debate who would you rather start, Eduardo Escobar or Mark Canha, and the obvious answer is
Escobar.
Eduardo Escobar.
Yes,
but still, Chris Bryant just makes a ton of sense. All right, let's say Chris Bryant plays right field. Your outfield is Brandon Nimmo, Starling Marte, and Chris Bryant,
and that's fine.
That's
yes.
really good. That's ridiculously good. And then your infield is Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, Francisco Lindor, and Eduardo Escobar.
I just wouldn't have a freak out about McNeil at second base.
I was very unhappy with Jeff McNeil. And honestly, part of the reason why I was so unhappy is because Jeff McNeil, it went last year, my favorite players on the New York Mets went Noah Syndergaard, Jeff McNeil, then Francisco Lindor. And Francisco Lindor is now my favorite player.
Yes.
But, you know, I was like kind of heartbroken that he was playing so poorly because I just love watching Jeff McNeil play. So I'm not ready to give up on him. I think he's a fine second baseman. I don't know, you know, will he be a guy that's going to hit 300 every year? I think he can be, but he didn't last year.
Yeah.
And he, you know, it's almost like he doesn't really know what he wants to do with himself. Like the way of the game is, right, is hitting homers and hitting the ball in the air. And he can do that.
Yeah.
But when he does that, the rest of the stats suffer. So, I mean, Jeff McNeil, I think, is a contact guy, and he's gotten away from that at times, and that's why last year he struggled so much.
And there's probably people in his ear saying, get away from that.
I don't know if Hugh Quattlebaum was was telling him that last year, because Hugh Quattlebaum is one of the more analytical people in the Mets organization who wants to hit the ball in the air. That's what Chili Davis preached.
Yeah.
Hit line drives and very old-school hitting coach. So again, it works for some guys. It doesn't work for others, right? Pete Alonso, for example, liked Chili Davis because Pete Alonso's gonna hit the ball in the air.
Yes,
that's what he does. So the idea of Pete trying to hit line drives also helps because then he can hit the ball in the air and also hit doubles when he needs to. For a guy like Francisco Lindor, that does make a lot of sense. Francisco Lindor should be hitting the ball. Try to be hitting the ball in the air as much as he possibly can.
Yeah. And the question is going to be, do you get the McNeil the past 2 years or do you get the McNeil 2019 because his 2019 season outdoes past 2 years easily?
Yeah. Yes, very, very easily. And again, there's the rat raccoon issue. Jeff McNeil and Francisco Lindor haven't really liked each other all year.
As long as you win, who cares?
Win baseball games. And you know, a lot of these problems do get taken care of. Unfortunately, the Mets didn't do enough of that last year to take care of all of those
problems. If you don't get Brian, is there anybody worthwhile in up the middle?
Nick Castellanos would be dope. That's not an infielder. If we're saying the infield is done, Nick Castellanos would be dope, but I haven't heard anything. I haven't even heard his name mentioned by any team, let alone the New York Mets. But I think the Mets, listen, with all the pitchers gone, I think the two biggest guys right now are Chris Bryant and Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
And those guys fit. Now Marcus Stroman is going to see the $43 million that Max Scherzer got handed, and he's going to be like, I want good money, and the Mets aren't going to give him that, which is kind of a big issue. But we'll see what happens.
We will.
This lockout is going to be a while. What do you think? Right? Let's think about this logically. In the NFL and the NBA, I don't know much about the NHL free agency, but in the in the NBA and the NFL, when free agency starts, it's fast.
Yes.
It's 2 days and it's done.
Yes.
Like all the major pieces are gone.
Yeah.
And it's so electric. For those 2 days, you're just on Twitter scrolling, constantly updating, seeing where guys are going to go. These last like 2 or 3 days have been incredible.
Yes, it's usually not this fast.
It's been so fast. It's been so furious. It's been so fun. There's been so many constant updates. Players want to know where they're going to play because they know this CBA is. Listen, people are saying, oh, it might get done. No, this is going to be a long time. Some people are saying there's going to be a lockout, which
I think you got to consider.
I think it's a little bold.
Yes, you got to consider the fragility of your sport at that point.
Yes. Both the one thing that both sides agree on is they cannot miss games.
Yes.
This season is absolutely vital where they cannot miss any games. Can't miss any spring training games. Can't miss any pitchers and catchers. Cannot miss regular season games. So I have to get it done.
Yes.
But that being said, this could be a process that goes from December 2nd all the way up to February 1st or February.
Which is
2nd.
Interesting. And then during that time, can't really
you can't do anything.
Yeah, you can't do anything at all. So it's kind of set that
which
deadline.
Which is why it's kind of funny. The only active teams it seems like are the Marlins, the Mets, the Mariners, the yes. Rangers, and the Angels. The Yankees signed Jose Peraza yesterday as their big free agent signing of the year.
Yeah, Corey Seager's off the board now, so the focus shifts to Correa.
Carlos Correa.
Yep.
Right.
So that, we'll see.
It would be. I mean, Correa wants $300 million, and nobody wants to give that to him.
Yep.
No, nobody wants to give Carlos Correa $300 million. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Would you? How high would you go for Carlos Correa?
$225
million. $225. Yes. I'd probably go $250.
Okay.
I think Carlos Correa is a very good player.
I think players are realizing, finally, it's not about the years, it's about the average annual value,
right.
Which is good.
Right, which is why Trevor Bauer gets the ridiculous amount of money he got. It's why Max Scherzer is getting the ridiculous amount of money he got. So we'll see.
We shall see.
Baez wanted the years, right? Mets were giving him pretty good money, and he wanted the extra year.
Yeah, no, he's secure with So
in Detroit.
Yes, he's as secure as it gets over there.
A prediction for you. Detroit. Yes.
I would not be surprised. He's still the number 15 ranked free agent. He's probably a top 10 now. If Conforto does not receive the money that he thinks he's going to receive, I would not be surprised if he takes a pity offer from the Mets. I would not write that out quite
yet. I don't know if
the
Mets are going to offer him that. I really don't. They signed Mark Hanna. And if their focus is going to be on Chris Bryant, he could go to the New York Yankees, which would be really funny, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we don't need that.
I don't know. I don't know where I could see. I don't know where I could see Conforto going.
Yeah, I thought he would just.
And the thing about the Yankees is, I could see any player going to the Yankees, whether the Yankees need them or not. I can literally see any player going there. Like if you told me tomorrow Michael Conforto was going to sign a 4-year deal with the Yankees for $100 million is a little high. $90 million, $80 million, $85 million dollars. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, okay.
But it's the new days of Cashman. He circles one or two players, gives all he's got, all his focus, and then fills in the pieces later on.
And then fills in the gaps. That's what he did with DJ LeMahieu.
Yes.
And that worked out pretty well. Mm-hmm. And then he focused on DJ LeMahieu, and look what happened. There you go.
Don't write him off yet.
All right, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. We're going to talk about the NFL playoff picture. Final 3 episodes of Sports Hour are coming your way this week. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here. WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Better days are ahead, Brandon Ladd. According to, how do you say this artist's name? Naked. It's not naked because there's an E.
Yeah, it could be naked. I don't know.
I never know. Weird, a bunch of weird names. But I do really like this song.
Yeah, May Muller. Polo G. Polo G's been around the block.
Polo G has been around the block. That's fairly accurate. All right, we got a little bit distracted by Sean Tucker yesterday, by the Mets giving Max Scherzer a ridiculous amount of money. What else did we talk about? Oh, Kemba Walker. He's out of the starting lineup for the Knicks.
I was going to say, we didn't even talk a lick of football.
No, we did not. We did not. Again, Deshaun Tucker return, lad.
Nope.
We'll see. Sorry, Syracuse fans. But we didn't talk about the NFL playoff picture. By the way, Jets and Giants both with wins. Zach Wilson looked terrible.
Yes.
But the Jets still won because they played the Texans, who are a disgrace to football.
And now they can build off, but Eagles this week.
The Jets are 3-8. You know who else is 3-8?
Who?
The Seattle Seahawks, baby. The Jets are going to have 2 top 5 picks in the NFL draft this year. Think about that. 2 top 5 picks. You know what you can get with that? You can get 2 offensive linemen.
They won't do that.
You could get a cornerback and an offensive lineman. You could get What else could you get? Like, you don't need quarterback, maybe receiver.
Well, you want the board?
Yeah, what do you got on the board?
Let me see.
Is there way too early mock drafts out right now? But, I mean, they need offensive line. They need probably defensive line. They probably need a linebacker. They could use a lot of things, and they're going to have two top five picks. They're going to have a high second-round pick with that Panthers pick. They've got another third-round pick. I think they have two fourth-round picks as well. Oh boy, it's always the future with the New York Jets, and then they mess it up somehow. So it's hard, you know, it's hard not to get excited, and then the reality hits, and it's like, oh, it's the New York Jets. Got nothing?
No, I got to sign in.
You got to sign in. All right, you don't need to do that. It's pointless. No need to sign in. But the Jets are 3-8 on the year. They get a big win against the Texans. Giants. Who do they beat? They're four and seven. And
the
they beat the Eagles this week, 13-7, and they play the Mickey Mouse team in Miami.
Even though I've heard Miami's made a complete resurgence.
Oh, yeah?
5-7.
5-7. They're not a good team.
Could backdoor their way into the playoffs.
The Jets could... Listen, the Jets. The Giants could win that game. All of a sudden, they're 5-7. Let's see. The seventh place team is 5-6 right now in the football team. Yeah. So
think about it this way, though. I would be careful what we classify Miami as. I would be careful what we classify our opinion of the Giants and their expectations going into that game, because the Dolphins have won four straight.
I'm going to tell you right now, the Giants are better than the Eagles, better than the Panthers, better than the football team, but I think the Falcons, Vikings, and Saints are better than them.
Falcons. Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know if the Falcons are better than that. Because they're both, like, the Falcons, like, it's so hard to judge what they are, right? Like, on paper, I really don't think the Falcons are, you know, better.
The NFC is so funny this year because there's two complete separations. Because you got the Cardinals, Packers, Bucks, Cowboys, and Rams. And then you got everybody else that's still in it.
Yeah, and then you got everybody else. The Niners, the football team, the Vikings, the Falcons, the Saints, the Eagles, the Panthers, the Giants, and the Bears.
Yeah.
And then Seattle is 3-8, and then Detroit is 0-10-1.
And everybody's having bad results every so often. Like, I don't think anybody's blowing up the Cowboys and Rams seasons, even though they've lost two consecutive games. And every single time we want to say Atlanta's the worst team in the league, suddenly they're tied for the wild card spot. So it just keeps going back and forth.
So, yeah, the Rams have actually lost three straight. They lost, wow, I didn't even realize that. The Titans, 28-16. They lost the 49ers, 31-10. And they lost the Packers, 36-28.
Good teams, though.
49ers aren't that good a team.
49ers are suddenly 6-5 in the sixth seed.
49ers aren't good. If you're the Rams, right, you have Super Bowl aspirations, you're supposed to be a top seed in the NFC, you have to beat the 49ers.
This is true.
So they're going to go, so Rams are going to go Jaguars, Cardinals, Seahawks, Vikings, Ravens, 49ers to end the year.
Let me get on this here.
Jaguars is a win. Cardinals is
Who knows? It's a divisional game.
Seahawks is a win. I think they should beat the Vikings, and then Ravens, and then 49ers, which is too far in advance to say.
Yes. They've got at least three toss-ups. They could win every single one of these games.
Yes. Yes, they could. But, you know, I'll just ask you a question so we can move on from
yes.
this. Do the Giants got an outside shot here to make the playoffs?
They do.
They go Dolphins, Chargers, Cowboys, Eagles, Bears, football team.
I don't see them beating the Cowboys the way...
There's a win against the Dolphins.
Yes. There's a Chargers could charger. The Chargers.
Chargers could charger.
Yes. 100%. Chargers have kind of fallen off.
Chargers could charger. L against the Cowboys.
Yes. Should beat the Eagles.
Should beat the Eagles. Should beat the Bears.
And then Washington's a toss-up. And depends then Washington's who's awesome. Playing for what.
Right. And there's a lot of teams in front of them. They could. There's definitely a chance. Daniel Jones, if he wins seven games, to go 7-10.
Yeah.
Is he the New York Giants starting quarterback next year?
He should be.
Really?
Because then you're not getting a draft pick where you can find somebody better. And I think
6-11.
Yeah, I just...
5-12.
Okay, restart.
So, 7-10. Is he the starting quarterback?
Yes.
6-11.
Yes.
5-12.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. This is a weak college football QB draft.
Really? So he's the starting quarterback. So really, no matter
there's
what.
There's no options.
So
there's
really, no matter. Options. So really, no matter
there's
what.
No options.
Daniel Jones is coming back next year.
Yes.
I don't think Giants fans are going to be too happy about that.
But I got to give these guys credit because they've went 3-2 in their last five. I remember when they were 1-5 and we said this team is going to be 1-11 by the time we talk about this after Thanksgiving. And by golly, they're 4-7.
We're talking about. We're talking like, oh yeah, the Giants 4-7. They're making it like what? Come
it's
on.
What happens in the NFC now. They fired a redhead, and now they're off and running.
Well, Jason Garrett, he's a disgrace to football. Meanwhile, in the AFC, the Patriots are 8-4.
No, they're the best team in football. There's no doubt about it. They are the most fundamentally sound team, and they will.
Oh, my God. Like, the fact that you're like, they, like I don't even know why we have to question it. They are the best team in football.
It's not even satirical anymore. The only thing that could stop the Patriots at this point is their kryptonite, Patrick Mahomes.
No, he's not even their kryptonite. He's not even their kryptonite. They've beat him before.
Yeah, but they haven't beat them this good.
Chiefs are 7-4. They're kind of back in it. They're kind of they won 4 in a row. But they've won 4 in a row against the Giants, that they beat the Packers. They destroyed the Raiders and they beat the Cowboys. So they're kind of back. They got a big Sunday night game against the Broncos this week. That's a divisional game. That's why it's big. The Broncos are not a good football team. But it's a divisional game.
Yes.
And then they go Raiders, Chargers, Steelers, Bengals, Broncos to end the year. So they kind of got an easy schedule to end the year. So they could honestly, they got an easy schedule to end the year. They could go 13-4.
They could go 13-4.
They're going to be 13-4, and everybody's going to be like, wow, why were we arguing what the Chiefs were doing early on in the year?
I don't think we're looking at record, though. We're looking at quality of play, and I still haven't really seen it.
The Raiders game was unbelievable.
Their offense was great. Their defense was great against the Cowboys. Yeah. I just want to see them put it together.
Yeah, they got to put it all. Yes, you're right. The offense wasn't great against the Cowboys, but the defense, like you said, from play one, there's no way the Cowboys are winning this game.
That might have just been the Cowboys' offense that day, but it seems like Spagnuolo and the defense has really got it going.
Yeah, they're starting to figure it out. Yeah. They're starting to figure it out for sure. But, I mean, look at the AFC. Like, the Bills are in sixth.
Yeah, and
sixth place for the team that went to the AFC Championship last year.
And I
year.
Would tell the whole city of Buffalo, be prepared to self-medicate going into Monday night, because don't be surprised if Belichick and the Patriots come in there and beat you by 14.
Oh, that's a huge Monday night game.
No, it's the biggest Monday night football game of the year.
Yes, you're right about that. It might be the biggest Monday night football game of the year. That is a huge game.
That will decide who wins the division.
That is a huge game. I didn't even realize that. And then they got, a bye coming up, right? No?
The maybe Patriots? Not. Yes.
Yeah, they got a bye coming up.
Yep.
That's huge. Patriots are going to go, Bills are going Pats, Bucks, Panthers, Pats, Falcons, Jets.
Where the Patriots can just game plan, micromanage the way they're going to deal the Bills, because they go Bills, bye, Colts, Bills, Jags, Dolphins. So there's only two more big things on the Patriots' schedule.
Honestly, like, you just look at these teams. I'm looking at them really hard. And I think you're right. I think the Patriots are, I don't know if they're the best team in the NFL, but they're the best team in the AFC.
Which is painful, but you look at the results.
It hurts.
And you know where this all started? By beating the Jets by 41 points. It's how you get your confidence back.
Yeah, so they started the year 1-3. They barely beat the Texans. They squeaked out a loss to the Cowboys, and then they beat the Jets 54-13. They've won 6 games in a row.
And everyone's saying, is it real? You beat the Jets. You beat a down bad Justin Herbert. You beat the Panthers, who I don't even know who was playing quarterback that day. Baker Mayfield sucks. You beat the Falcons, but then you beat the Titans by
23-13.
Yeah.
Then you go Bills, Colts, Bills, Jaguars, Dolphins to end the year.
It's all right in front of you. The Patriots could go 13-4 and be the one seed.
I was talking to my cousin, who is a big matter-of-fact Bill Belichick, Tom Brady guy, which I am too.
Yes.
But he's, like, even bigger than I am. And, like, we're talking about football. I'm like, who do you think is going to the Super Bowl this year? He goes, you know who's going to the Super Bowl. I was like, no. I was like, really? I was like, do I really know? He's like, you know. It's going to be Tom Brady, and it's going to be Bill Belichick, and they're going to play each other in the Super Bowl. and I will physically be hurt.
I'm not handing him that quite yet.
Like it will. I don't know if I will be able to watch. I'm being serious. I really don't know if I will be able to watch that.
I'll give the Patriots the regular season. I won't give them the playoffs because Mac Jones is still a rookie quarterback and things get really freaky once you get to the second and third round. Yeah.
I mean, but again, if they're playing, if they're the two seed and they're playing at Gillette Stadium for the majority of the playoffs. Yeah.
I mean, still, is Mac Jones going to be able to go into Arrowhead and beat
Patrick
Mahomes?
But he might not have to go into Arrowhead.
Yeah, but then imagine how mad you have Mahomes and Reed going up to Gillette. They're going to win by 40. So I see.
So you have that much confidence in Mahomes at this point?
Yes. There's no reason not to.
Really? There's no reason? They beat the Giants by 3 points.
I know, but they're not a regular season team.
We'll see.
They know what's for real. They're bored. They've done it so many
times. They've done it. How many? Do we really even have to play the regular season? Like, do we really?
Well, I mean, Brady and Belichick got that way eventually.
Did they?
I remember everyone saying bench Brady after they lost to the Bengals on a Monday Night Football game in week 3.
Bench Brady. Yes, he's done. He's completely washed up, goes to Tampa, wins another Super Bowl. Could you imagine, though, Tampa, New England, Super Bowl? Who wants to watch that? Who? Do you want to watch it? Because I certainly don't.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to watch that, but the storylines
are
Johnson, fascinating.
Who's not a Jets fan, doesn't really like the Bucks. I guarantee you he will say, why would I want to watch that?
Yeah.
Who wants to see it? Nobody. Yeah. It will just be pain.
It's still fascinating, though.
Yeah, sure, it's a great storyline, and I'm sure the ratings will be incredible. But as a football fan, as a Jets fan, I will not be able to watch that.
It's still fascinating, though, because
I am rooting for the Rams through and through. I am a Rams fan through and through this season.
I'll say this, if you compare the two journeys, the Bucs, I think, have a harder journey because you're going to have to go up to Lambeau, and you're going to have to play a one seed.
Yeah. Rams have lost 3 straight, which is a little bit scary. And I actually, here's another scary thing that I'm just looking at right now. Their strength of victory percentage is 353.
Oh, it's one of the lowest in the NFL.
That's terrible. Holy crap, that's bad. That's really bad. Well, what are you going to do? I guess you got to figure it out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap the show. Hot Corner coming your way at 4 o'clock. Doubleheader of basketball tonight over on Stream 2. We've got the Oswego women's team taking on the Cortland Red Dragons in their first Suniac game of the year. It'll be Stephen Bayer and Sean Pastrick on the call for that one. And then at 7:30, it'll be the Cortland Red Dragons taking on the Oswego State men's team. And that'll be Joey Palatsky and Brandon Ladd on the call. All of that is your coming your way. Excuse me. All of that's coming your way over on Stream 2. Like I like swallowed and...
I thought the whole mic was in your mouth for a minute.
Yeah, well, sorry. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. Listen to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Welcome back to Sports Hour. It's the final week of Sports Hour, so we're playing all the Sports Hour music classics.
What is this?
It's the video game song.
Oh.
It's by Crying. The band is called Crying.
Wait, you're playing that off of that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because I got tricked because YouTube's going at the same time.
No, yeah. Why is Avalanche playing?
I don't know. And now I'm curious what Avalanche is because James Arthur.
You ready?
Yeah, I'll go back to the beginning. Here we go.
I've never heard this song in my life.
Me neither.
I don't like that.
Get a few heads.
I'm going back to the. I could be a mixer. DJ Valentino. I won't be as good as DJ Bam.
Nobody is,
but playing all the classics this week. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, make sure you tune in for a special, special, special show and a special announcement to find out where Lad and I's final journey is going to take us.
It makes it sound like we're going to die.
I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, yeah. I don't think I really realized how big a deal it was until that one, that post today.
Yes.
And two, when I told Eboard a week ago that we weren't going to do the show next semester, like, their reaction was very upset. I was surprised. But, you know.
We've come a long way from being too shy to say hey in class.
Yeah, you sliding me the
rundown.
Yeah, I know. We listened to that whole song. Let's see. We're getting breaking news out of Michael Gross. The Cubs, they're closing in on a one-year deal with Clint Frazier. Clint Frazier was a free agent? Oh, he was released by the Yankees. That's right. He was. So the Cubs, they're going to get Clint Frazier, which could be good for them.
Yeah.
Could be. Clint Frazier is done for in a Yankees uniform. So there you go. Again, this signing deadline has been legitimate. This is what I want out of the new CBA. Ready? Universal DH, because it's going to happen, so might as well steer into the skid. Universal DH.
Yes.
I want a salary floor. I don't want a salary cap. I want a salary floor. No team's payroll should be less than $50 million. Maybe even $60
million. Okay.
Because the Baltimore Orioles, their payroll heading into 2022
yes.
is going to be $37 million. Max Scherzer is making $43 million by himself this year.
So
Garrett Cole is making $36 million by himself this year.
So let me recap here. You're saying set a floor and set a ceiling.
I don't necessarily think, because the players aren't going to want a ceiling.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think I want to see, because I kind of like the idea of MLB teams being able to create these Death Stars, which none of them do because they're all too cheap to do that.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that idea. But again, I need every team to try and be competitive.
As now I'm looking up, does the NBA have a salary floor?
I think they do. I think every sport technically does, but you never hear about it because...
Yeah, so it's got to be 44.74%. So nobody's ever gone close to that.
Yeah, exactly.
But do you want it like the NBA? I'm not sure, because MLB agents are just ridiculous people. You know how in the NBA you have slots? Like, yeah. You have three max slots.
Yeah.
You have a veteran slot. So
right.
Do MLB teams need that?
Right. But I want the universal DH. I want the salary floor. I want the playoffs to stay exactly the same. You don't need to change it. If you want to have a 3-game set for the wild card series, that's fine. But no, none of this bull crap where half the teams make the playoffs and the first seed gets to pick who they want to play.
My favorite moment of this whole pandemic was when the Marlins beat the Cubs.
I don't need
it. I think it's right. It's exactly what we need.
We don't need that. Listen, how many teams are we going to let make the postseason?
I don't know how many?
In the NBA, 60% of the teams make the playoffs.
Let's let them all make
That's
it.
That's ridiculous. That's stupid. What's the point of the regular season? It's stupid. That's what it is. All right, we've got Hot Corner coming your way at 4 o'clock. We've got a doubleheader of basketball over on Stream 2 tonight, so make sure you tune in to that one. I will be there at Max Hill. Not calling the game for NYL, but calling the game for class, which is going to be...
It's going to be lit.
There is going to be a lot of broadcasters, a lot of people in suits in Max Hill Gymnasium at 7:30 tonight. Jake will also be there just observing. So everybody and their mother is going to be at Max Hill tonight.
I hope I can find my table.
And you should too, or you should be listening to WNYL 889. The Laker Radio Network. That's going to do it. Two more episodes remain of Sports Hour. We will see you all tomorrow at 3 o'clock for a very special announcement. It's going to be a good time. And that's it. Make sure you tune into basketball tonight. We'll see you tomorrow.